In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The parable of the prodigal son is probably one of Jesus' most famous parables that he tells. It's a rich narrative with tension and drama, interpersonal dynamics. It's also different than the majority of the parables that Jesus tells. Most of them rely heavily on symbols or a singular symbol, and most of those were agricultural in nature. Jesus plucking things from the landscape in which he was preaching in order to make a clearer point to his audience. But there's something about this parable, the dynamic of a wayward child, the tension between brothers, and disagreement and envy between family members that makes it very universal, I think. There's a way in for all of us to find ourselves somewhere in this parable. It makes it a very human story. By a show of hands, is anybody here familiar with the practice of giving your testimony in church? Yeah, I see a few hands. I know Dash knows what I'm talking about. So for the uninitiated, in certain corners of Christianity, usually a portion of the service is set aside for people to get up and to share sort of the history of their journey of faith, how God worked in their lives to draw them to himself. Some people will embellish their backstory a little bit, make themselves sound out to be more of a notorious sinner than they actually were so that they seem much more pious by comparison. But either way, giving a testimony and hearing testimonies was an important part of my church life growing up in a different denomination. I would even spend every Saturday night listening to this oldie-timey sort of radio drama called Unshackled. Ah, Dash knows, yeah. Okay, so Unshackled is produced by the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, which produced Billy Sunday, a very famous evangelist from the early 20th century. And they get these voice actors and they sort of reenact people's testimonies, sort of split up with dramatic organ interludes. I'm talking about testimonies, all of this, because when I read the parable of the prodigal son, I read in some way my own testimony of faith. It's a story for me of departure and return, a story of a community with people in it who would turn someone away, a story of finding home again, and a reminder of the never-failing, ever-present desire of God for you and for me. The parallel in my own life to the parable is not exactly perfect. Thankfully, my story is very short on prostitutes and pigs. Instead, I was raised in the church. My faith was my home. We prayed every day. I was in church 3 times a week. I belonged. My identity was rooted in the fact that I knew that God loved me, and I could always turn to him whenever I needed to. My faith was my home. But when I came out to my family and my church community in college, they responded like the Pharisees that started off Jesus telling this parable. This fellow welcomed sinners. I was guilty by association with a community that they thought was unworthy of God's love, too impure. Couldn't possibly be Christian and gay in this context. And they turned me away. I suddenly found myself with no family to speak of and no church community, people who had raised me, who had invested years into my life that I considered closer than family. Like the prodigal son, I felt like I was suddenly on my own and wandering. I imagined then, colored by the actions of people around me, that this is exactly how God felt too. That the door to God's ear, if you will, was closed to me. In some ways, I also thought with this response by my church and family communities that this faith, this, tradition and root that I had couldn't possibly provide me with enough sustenance and community and support, and that I needed to strike out on my own and do it my way. And so, like the prodigal son, I went my way. And I remember a very distinct moment after all of this happened, in which I said very clearly to myself that if God could not love me for who I was, then God did not deserve to be worshipped, and that I would never go into a church ever again. A year and a half later, I was still wandering, and I missed my faith. I felt spiritually homeless. I missed prayer. I missed knowing that I belonged to God, and I wandered. It's only in hindsight that I realized that God was alongside me in that darkness and isolation and loneliness the entire time, like that father with arms outstretched, waiting for his son to return. And during that year and a half, even though I missed my faith, it was fear of a response like that of the older brother in the parable. You're back? How could we dare possibly celebrate you? That kept me from even darkening the door of a church. In the end, it was only through a long conversation with a friend's mom, who happens to be a very dear and wise Episcopal priest up near Syracuse, that made me realize that perhaps, just perhaps, God did not feel about me the way other people had expressed that they did. As I said, the judgment and rejection of other people had clouded my perspective on what God felt. I spend all this time talking about my own story and my experience, but the purpose of it is to share and to stress with you that the message that we read today in that gospel, that parable of the prodigal son, is real. I've lived it. I've experienced it. I know what it's like to sit with thoughts that say, God could never forgive me. I'm not worthy. I've done horrible things. No one else cares about me, so how could God care about me? And there's no way I could ever bring myself to go back and to try to open up through prayer that channel of and connection. I'm mindful in many ways about how religious institutions, churches, thankfully different than this one, who have done that same sort of action to people, that have been the elder brother in the parable and turned them away. Today is the National Trans Day of Visibility. How many times have people, members of the LGBTQ community, single parents, people who have a history of addiction, people of color, people who are too different from us, how many times have they been turned away from the love of God by someone else? I know. And yet, those experiences that I've experienced, that so much of us have experienced likewise, those experiences in my life form the bedrock of why I am a priest, why I'm standing here before you now. I know what it's like to wander, and I know what it's like to realize that God was standing next to me the entire time with arms outstretched. So my message for you today, my friends, is very, very simple. I have no fancy theological footwork to do. I won't reference the Greek this time. All I have for you is this parable, which is the beating heart of the gospel. Reduce the entire scriptures down, and this is what we get to: that God loves us. There is no limit to God's love for us, and God is eternally ready to welcome us home. Because the gospel is not about how great of a sinner we are, but about how great God's love for us is. This is what Paul means when in 2 Corinthians we read that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. That Christ would enter into the brokenness of human existence, to the depths of death and isolation and darkness, and sit with us there. To experience that so that we would not be alone. Christ entered fully into the depths of human experience to remind us that we are not alone, that our past has no hold over us, and that no one's rejection can keep us from the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. Instead, God waits, and he waits, like that father with arms outstretched, always ready to welcome us home, always ready to draw us close. And so, my friends, today, if you're not home, come home today. Realize the boundless love of God for you, and that there's nothing you need to do, no creed you need to profess in order to earn God's love. And if you're already there, then take Paul's words to heart. You are an ambassador of Christ. Point the way with your words and your lives and your actions to that Father standing on a hill with arms outstretched, ready to embrace people. This is the gospel. Amen.